the Maple View Animal Hospital Studios, this is the WHTC Morning News with Gary Stevens and Peg McNichol on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
We welcome you back to WHTC's Morning News for this Tuesday, March 16th. I'm Gary Stevens. Tuesday mornings at this time, we have a chance to chat with Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph. He joins us via the Zoom connection. And Fred, good morning. Welcome back to WHTC. And as we speak, as this is being a recorded interview, you are heading back to Washington. You got some work to do over there, don't you?
We got a lot of votes up this week, and you know, immigration is going to take center stage, and you know, it's a big issue right now. Of course, I'm anxious to talk this afternoon with some of my Republican colleagues who are actually at the border on Monday. They're seeing literally hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, of unaccompanied children that are coming across the border. It's a crisis. We need to deal with it. The president, former President Trump, talked about Congress, get your job done. We need an immigration bill. And of course, it did not happen. This week on the House floor, we're actually going to deal with two separate components of immigration. One is an ag immigration bill. And you might recall, we talked about this last year. The Problem Solvers Caucus helped propel this. We passed it to real relief, particularly for our agriculture sector here in Michigan. Just about every farm group is behind the effort. We passed it by nearly 100 votes back in December of 2019. But we're also going to deal with the issue called the Dreamers. And of course, these are kids, often at age maybe 3 or 4 years old, came with their parents. They're here 15, 20 years later. They've gone through our education system. Maybe they're married by now. They're working. They're paying taxes. And their status is uncertain based really on what the courts have not ruled yet. So this is going to provide an avenue for them as well. No, it's not automatic citizenship. They go in a line if they want to become citizens. But it gives them legal status as they've been here really through, you would say, no fault of their own. Remember, it was their parents who, or someone else that might have brought them here 10, 15, 20 years ago. So we're going to deal with those two separate issues. I expect that both will pass in the House. And it's important that we see what the margin is, because that then will get maybe the Senate's attention and deal with this. And these are, I would like to think, the low-hanging fruit on immigration reform. That we could be able to do this in a bipartisan way.
And it seems as if, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of this comes after January 20 in terms of the immigration problem. Yes, I know the president, Mr. Trump, wanted Congress to do something before he left office. It didn't get done. But it's almost as if, hey, change of administration, let's head for the border. I'm a funny feeling that's it was timed that way.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to talk to my colleagues who were down there yesterday on Monday, and to see what they saw firsthand. I've been down there in the past. In fact, our Problem Solvers Caucus went down in the summer of July of 2019, saw it firsthand, literally thousands of people in line. We were right there on the Rio Grande. We talked to Border Patrol folks. They needed more resources, and we got it for them.
Fred Upton, I want to touch a couple of other things while we have our conversation this morning. First of all, report from Axios saying about a quarter of congressional legislators have not been vaccinated against the coronavirus, either refusing to get the shot, claiming a medical exemption, or otherwise not reporting having received an inoculation in their home state. Can we ask you, have you gotten your shot yet?
I did. I waited my turn. Members of Congress were able to get it literally the first day back in December. I said to myself, no. I said, I'm going to let our first responders, our healthcare workers, they need to be at the head of the line. I waited my turn. I waited until this year to get it. As it turned out, I did get the Pfizer vaccine. I've been on, I think, since the first of the year, maybe at least 30 different airplane flights back and forth. I get tested once or twice a week. They've always been negative, but to answer your question, yes, I did get the vaccine. I waited until this year. And of course, now in Michigan, we're going to be the second state, I believe, to allow anyone over 16 to be eligible to get a shot. That starts next month. Right now, it's currently, I think, at age 55 or 50 or 55. I'm 67. I know I look like I'm 38, but I was I waited until 65-year-olds were eligible before I got my shot. I would like to think that we need to set the example. And no, I'm not for mandatory vaccination, but I do believe in the science. As we've talked a lot before about the process that these vaccines were approved, all the safety standards were in place. 30,000 people were in the trials. Yes, we can improve the trials. And that's something that we're going to be looking at doing 21st Century Cures 2.0 in the next couple of months to include more people of color, women, et cetera, so that we actually know. But at the end of the day, I'd like to think that most, if not all of my colleagues would take the opportunity knowing that we're out and about and don't want to pass this on to anyone else. And as I've been talking to our local hospitals here, it seems like there's a little bit of an uptick now in the number of cases that we have to be very wary about. Now we don't want to happen what's happening on in Europe, particularly with Italy, Paris, the UK, Ireland, Germany, and our south, Brazil.
The reason why I was bringing this up, Fred, is the fact that I understand until all the members of Congress get vaccinated, it's going to be staggered votes and basically bogging things down. There are some of your colleagues that are saying, no, not for me. I don't know whether or not you want to put the strong arm to them or what to try to get them to be on board on this.
Well, you know, it's been a difficult year for everyone across the country. On the legislative side for us, often when we had multiple votes, we actually had two-minute votes. You had to go in, you have to put a card in. It's like a credit card into a little box at the end of the row in the House chamber. And you could maybe vote if they rolled votes, you get 20 votes in a row, that might take maybe an hour and 10 minutes. Last week, I think we had five votes. It took 6 hours to do it. 45 minutes per vote. They want to stagger members. I made the point that actually if we went to two-minute votes, we would be on the floor less time interacting with each other than what it is when we're there 5 or 6 hours in a row. So you get a lot more done, and maybe they should have a certain place on the House floor. If you haven't been vaccinated, you go up and you vote in the gallery, which has got plexiglass around it, so that you're away from other people for anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping we can streamline the process because it takes a long, you know, we're voting now till 10, 11 o'clock at night on something that frankly could be over before dinner.
One final thing, Fred Upton, and I need to bring this point up, and hopefully it's not too much of a curveball. President Joe Biden, from our CBS briefings on Monday, President Joe Biden is planning the first major federal tax hike since 1993 to help pay for a long-term economic program designed as a follow-up to his most recently passed American Rescue Plan. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Unlike the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 stimulus act, the next initiative, which is expected to be even bigger, won't rely on government debt as a funding source. I have a funny feeling we are going to have to pay for these a stimulus package one way or another, and maybe this is, day of reckoning.
Well, we had, until COVID hit, we had the greatest economy growth moving forward than ever before. A large part of it was credited towards former President Trump's tax cuts that we were able to get through. As I recall, we did get some Democrats that voted for him, not a lot, but we got them through. And frankly, it made the U.S. more competitive with our counterparts around the globe. At the time, we had the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And so your multinational companies, take Perrigo down in Aladdin, they actually moved their headquarters to Ireland because they had a lower tax rate. We saw a number of companies move major facilities overseas. We don't want that. We want them here, especially after we saw, you know, the vaccine and a number of the components that are made overseas or produced over. We want them here. We want incentives to bring jobs here. And if you raise taxes back to where they were so that we're no longer competitive with, you know, maybe even at Canada or Japan or other places, guess what? The jobs are going to leave. The way that we get out of this mess is to create the jobs here to get our economy rolling again, and not by sending the signal that we're going to have a dramatic increase in the tax rates. Something, by the way, that, you know, candidate President Trump talked about is fulfilling the prophecy if in fact, the Biden administration decides to go back and really raise taxes and hurt the chances for the recovery that all of us wish for.
He is Congressman Fred Upton. He joins us most Tuesday mornings to talk about some of the issues of the day due to scheduling. We are very pleased to be able to chat with Fred on Monday for today's conversation. Fred, I wish you safe travels to Washington and back. And if all goes well, let's do this again next Tuesday morning.
Look forward to it. Thanks.